going to look today at Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. If you'll stand, we're going to see God deliver. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him, because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, "We'll never find any basis of charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God." So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing, so it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows were open toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God, just as he had done before. Father, as we look at this life of Daniel, Father, may we see not only the deliverance you give, but the reason you give it. Father, bless us today. Encourage our hearts that you are more than able to deliver us from any problem we face. And Lord, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So can God deliver me? What a great question, and the answer is given right here in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel came to Babylon, modern-day Iraq. So if you can imagine living in Iraq today if you lived in Iraq and you are a Christian, guess what? You won't get a job. You won't own a house. You may not be able to keep your own children. Iraq, although they had times of seeking Christ and following the Bible, that's long since gone. Iraq, at the time that Daniel came to Iraq, at that time, it was pagan worship. They worshiped all kinds of different gods, but they didn't worship the God of Israel. David, as a young man, probably 14, 15 years old, is taken from his home because the war had come, because Israel was disobeying the Lord, and the Lord brought judgment. And the Babylonians came in and took all the people captive that were still alive. Very likely, Daniel's parents died at that time. Daniel was a young man walking with God. But Daniel was taken from his home because when judgment falls, and that's one of the reasons I want you to really pray for our nation, because when judgment falls, it doesn't just fall on the evil. It's going to fall on everybody here. You think it won't affect you when our nation and our way of life fails? You think it won't affect your children and your grandchildren? We need to be in prayer. We need revival desperately as a people. But I want to tell you, Daniel, when he was taken to Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar, he was trained in the schools how to be an effective administrator in the land of Babylon. Daniel was tempted as a young man. The only reason I bring this up, I want you to see faithfulness over time brings blessing. Daniel, as a young man in the school, was tempted because he was going to be fed the king's wine and the king's meat. And that meat had been offered to idols. And one of the first things Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did was to go to the man that was put over them and say, "We don't want the meat. We don't want the king's wine. Feed us just vegetables. How many 14-year-old kids do you think are going to say that? Daniel knew that he shouldn't eat meat offered to idols. Daniel said, test us for 10 days. They did. They tested him for 10 days, and they looked better than all the rest. Daniel was a man who went through Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar's son, Nebuchadnezzar's grandson, and then that kingdom fell. And Darius the Mede came in, the Medes and the Persians, and they took over Babylon. By the time they come into Daniel chapter 6, Daniel is now almost 90 years old. We've got trouble in our land with some older people running for president right now that people are saying, boy, this guy doesn't have it. In fact, sometimes maybe both of them don't quite have it together. But Daniel is older than either one of our people running for president now. And the king saw such character and such wisdom in Daniel, Darius is going to put him over the entire kingdom. I think about a verse in the New Testament that talks about this. And it's 1 John chapter 2, verse 17. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. Folks, kingdoms come and go, but the man or woman of God who does the will of God is going to be faithful through each different time of life. It doesn't just happen at one time. This is a lifetime commitment. Daniel has made his commitment, and he just continued to do the same things that he had always done to walk with his God. So now we come to this Daniel in chapter 6, and the king has passed a law, as we read, that nobody can pray to anybody but him. And the king is the one who said, if anybody does, they're going to the lion's den. Well, somebody did. Daniel. And now the king himself is very worried. And he asked the question in verse 20, Daniel chapter 6, verse 20. When he came near the den, and this is the king, Darius, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? You see, if you were thrown to the lions, before you even hit the ground, you were already meat in their mouth. And so the king felt maybe nobody could, but God did. When we study the chapter, we're going to find the experience of Daniel is a great testimony for God's power, and it's a great hope in our lives, because you and I are going to face lions of all different types. They're tests of life. They're hard things we go into. And the question we have to answer ahead of time, because if you have doubts, you're not going to be faithful. You have to know ahead of time, my God is able. If you don't know that, this world's going to overcome you. Your own flesh is going to overcome you. But knowing that God is able. King Darius was a very intelligent man. He knew how to run government. It says in Daniel 6, verse 1 again. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule throughout the kingdom, with three administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities, the king had planned to set him over the whole kingdom. No one man can run a huge organization. Darius didn't just rule over Iraq, he ruled over all the lands around Iraq. And he knew that he needed other people who he could count on to run things. And so he appoints 120 satraps, and over those 120, he appoints three princes that those 120 have to report to, so the king doesn't lose out. So he's an organizational man. Sometimes when things are organized, people don't like who's at the top. And the king had in mind to put Daniel in charge of all of those men. Jealousy is a lion's trap. when the Lord gives you a position of authority, it doesn't matter if it's at your job or at your school, at your college, wherever you might be put into charge, other people are going to resent that. That's a job or a position that they wanted. And the 120 satraps are not too happy about a 90-year-old Jewish man. He's not even one of us, Darius. Why in the world would you put that guy in charge? So they got on the internet. Oh, wait a minute. They didn't have the internet, did they? But they tried to find something juicy. If you want to find out about people, let me tell you, the internet has everything pretty much that you've ever done. You may think, well, there's not much about me. Put your name in sometime. See what's there. It might surprise you or scare you. We all are on there, believe it or not. These men didn't have the internet to go to, but they had sources. They had sources because Daniel had been in charge a long time now. Daniel was 14 or 15. He had a couple years of training, and then he became a leader in that area of the world. So he had probably 45, 50 years of administrative duties that he had been doing. There ought to be something juicy in all that. And so they did all their checking, and they couldn't find one single thing. And they came to the conclusion, the only way we're going to find anything about Daniel is by something to do with the law of his God. You know, sometimes we get worried about older people, like our two that are running for president right now. Age is not the problem. Some of the people at very advanced ages still do great work. Some of you used to shop at JCPenney's. Maybe a few still do. But JCPenney went to work every day all the way through his 95th birthday. 95th year, he was there. Some of you know that at Zender's in Frankenmuth, I can't remember her name right now, but that lady was working into her 90s. Folks, just because you're getting older doesn't mean you're losing it. Some do, okay? I'm beginning to wonder about myself. Sometimes I can't remember. Okay, those things happen. But I want to tell you, Daniel was sharp. At 90 plus, he was sharp. He knew what was going on. He knew what he ought to do. And he was bound determined to do it. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 4, we start to follow the story. At this, the administrators and satraps trying to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs. But they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. The more successful you become, keep this in your mind, because success isn't all it's cracked up to be sometimes. Because the more successful you become, the more people that are going to be jealous of you and want what you have. And they're going to try and find ways to get rid of you. That's just the common part of life. The Bible says in verse 4, they sought occasion against him. They tried to find something that Daniel had done wrong. And in all their research, they couldn't find a thing. So then they began to say, maybe we can find something that Daniel does that we can use against him because he is Jewish. And he does follow the law of God. I mentioned in Sunday school today, sometimes in our economy today, if you're going to stand strong for Christ, there are already things in position to oppose your view. I mentioned the place that I work right now, and almost every workplace I know of right now, there can be no discrimination anymore in the workplace because of sex or gender or all the rest of it. And so what they're saying is, you can't say what you believe about your Christian faith in your workplace. Folks, that's going to become very difficult for many. In the schools today, if children and teachers especially don't use the proper pronouns, you're in trouble. The Lord says a boy's a boy, a girl's a girl, that's it. But they're trying to force you to say, no, a girl can be a cat today if she wants to be. A girl can be a boy today, or a boy can be a girl today. If you're going to take a stand for the Lord, guess what? you are going to get some persecution. But we must take a stand for the Lord. Those who are the Lord, the Bible says, let the one who is the Lord say so. Sometimes you're going to have to stand up. I'm not telling you cause a lot of trouble, but I'm telling you there are going to be times you are going to have to stand up and say, this is what I believe. You can live any way you want, but this is what God says. And if you think it's not going to cost you, you are wrong. The Bible says they that will live godly will suffer persecution. Might isn't in there. They will. And so when you take a stand, don't be surprised when the world comes after you. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 5, finally, these men said, we'll never find any basis of charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of his God. There was something different about Daniel. He didn't live the way the rest of the people lived. He had Sabbath day observances. He was a man of prayer. They all knew that. You see, when the cabinet would meet on Sabbath day, Daniel never showed up. Why? Because God told him he wasn't to be working on the Sabbath. They knew that. They knew Daniel was a man of prayer, and they're going to find something about you that's contrary to what goes on. If you doubt that, ask Chief Justice Ray Moore of the Alabama Supreme Court. Some of you remember the story. On the courthouse, he had the Ten Commandments up, and they outlawed that. And Ray Moore stood by it. And they voted him out of office because he had it. Do you know what's on the Supreme Court of the United States? Right behind the podium? Ten Commandments. Folks, they will come after you. Don't think you're not going to be persecuted, because if you stand strong for your Lord, whether that's in high school, junior high, grade school, college, on your workplace, when you stand strong, somebody's not going to like it. So they're looking for a way, and they find we got to find something in the law of God. And so they come up with the idea, Daniel has prayed every day. He was an open window prayer guy. I really wish more Christians would be open with their prayer, with their life for the Lord. But every day, three times a day, morning, noon, and in the evening, Daniel had his window open towards Jerusalem, and he would kneel down and he would pray. He'd been doing that from the time that he went there. They all knew it. And so they come up with an idea that for the next 30 days, nobody can pray to anybody except the king. In Daniel 6:6, here's the idea. So these administrators and satraps went as a group to the king and said, "May King Darius live forever." The royal administrators, prefects, satraps, advisors, and governors have all agreed. Did Daniel agree to this? No, we don't see Daniel right there. That the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or human being during the next 30 days, except to you, your majesty, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, your majesty, issue the decree and put it in writing so that it cannot be altered in accordance with the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be repealed. So King Darius put the decree in writing. What a deal. Everybody, hey, I'm the king. Everybody, for the next 30 days, you can only pray to me. You can't pray to any other god. Man, Darius has got a big head. Whoa, these guys love me. They're out for my best. They want to worship me. Oh. And so he signs the decree, but he doesn't think that he can't change it. Once the law was made, it could never be changed. Darius thinks that he's God. He's a God, not the God, because they didn't believe in just one. They had thousands. When Tim and I worked in the shop, we had a fellow who's Hindu, and he had literally thousands of gods. And so this man had that, but he said, man, next 30 days, nobody can pray to anybody but me. He loved the idea. This is great. But there's a crisis brewing, because these men are out to get his number one leader, the man with the excellent attitude, the man with the excellent abilities of Daniel. He's about to lose him, and he doesn't see it coming. Why did Daniel pray 3 times a day? And why did he pray towards Jerusalem? It isn't just Daniel's idea. This is biblical. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 36. Here's why Daniel did it. When they sin against you, talking about the children of Israel, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive to a land far away or near. And if they have a change of heart in the land where they are held captive, and repent and plead to you in the land of their captivity, and say, we've sinned, we've done wrong, and acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity where they were taken, and they pray toward the land you gave their ancestors, toward the city you've chosen, and toward the temple I built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their pleas, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Daniel is praying towards Jerusalem with an open window, because that's the command he got from his God. Solomon wrote that, but it's Scripture. And we believe that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for what? So the man or woman of God can be faithful. So we can do what's right. That's why the word of God is given. Daniel is simply claiming the promise of God. He's saying, Lord, here I am. I'm on my knees. I'm praying toward Jerusalem. We have sinned. We need you to come and rescue us. And guess what? God did. God always keeps his word. He's an open window prayer warrior. Let me ask you a question. Have your children ever caught you in prayer? Have they ever come through the room, the door, opened the door, and didn't know you were in there praying on your knees to God? Wouldn't it be exciting if they could remember that my mom and my dad prayed for me over and over and over? Folks, that is so important. We should be caught praying. In Psalm 55, verse 17, it says, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Persistence. Persistence in prayer. Not just, let me ask, if there was a law given in the United States of America, you couldn't pray to anybody except the new president, whoever that is, for 30 days, would it bother you? Or would it be, well, it doesn't matter. I don't pray. I've met people who call themselves Christian. I say, how often do you pray? Well, I can't remember the last time. Folks, prayer should be a part of your life. It's like breathing. It's so important for a Christian. So in Daniel 6, verse 13, then they said to the king, Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, your majesty, or to the decree you put into writing. He still prays 3 times a day. Now the king knows he's been hoodwinked. These guys made a law that the one who claims to be God, now everybody prays to me, he didn't even know what was coming. He admits that he's not. Look at verse 14. When the king heard this, he was greatly distressed. He was determined to rescue Daniel and made every effort until sundown to save him. This king really loved Daniel. Daniel had saved his booty more than once. Daniel was the man that he trusted the very most. And now Daniel was going to suffer the lion's den because this king wanted to be worshipped. And the king disdained what he had done. But these guys weren't going to give up. Even though they could tell Darius was very distressed, they're pushing because they've got an agenda. Daniel's not going to be over us. Remember what they said about the Lord Jesus, the religious leaders? We will not have this man to rule over us. Why? Because he stood for something. He stood for obedience to his father. Daniel stood for something. Daniel stood for obedience to Jehovah God. Not all the gods, one God. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 15, then the men went as a group to King Darius and said to him, remember, your majesty, that according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, no decree or edict the king issues can be changed. So the king gave the order, and they brought Daniel and threw him into the lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God, whom you serve continually, rescue you. Folks, he had to keep the law. He made the law, and he had to keep it. But he's asking and praying, may the God whom you serve rescue you. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we don't have just one lion in this world. We've got all kinds of lions going around. It says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Why do we have to suffer for a little while? Why doesn't he just rescue us now? Why doesn't he take away all this craziness that we're in? It's because God's got a plan. He's got you here for a purpose. You're here to be like Daniel, to just keep doing what you know your God would have you do. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, it says, don't let the world put you into its mold. You've got to stand up to this thing. With the Lord, you've got more than enough strength to do it. Without the Lord, you'll never do it. So the Lord says there in Daniel chapter 6, verse 18, then the king returned to his palace and spent the night without eating and without any entertainment being brought to him, and he could not sleep. Folks, this man really is grieved over what he's done. His heart is aching, and he's worried for Daniel. He's fasting. I'm sure Daniel had fasted many times, and this king knows nothing about fasting, but he's fasting for Daniel. This is a king that can have anything he wants. About that. Okay. God did rescue him. You know, God doesn't have just lion rescue angels. God has all kinds of angels. God has lion taming angels, but he also has prison door opening angels. Remember when Peter was in jail and they had just killed James the apostle, and now next it's going to be Peter, and an angel comes to the door and opens the door? It's the first automatic door in the world. The door opened on its own, with God, of course, doing it, the angel, and out walks Peter. The Lord has all kinds of different angels. He has stone rolling angels or earthquake angels. When they rolled the stone in front of the tomb, it says there was an earthquake and an angel rolled the stone back. No matter what your need is, God has his angels that will do whatever has to be done for a servant. Daniel is not alone. In Psalm 34, verse 7, the Lord says, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." You remember we did a study on the angel of the Lord? Every time you see the angel of the Lord, who are we talking about? Jesus Christ. This is written way back in the book of Psalms. This is probably 1500 to 1800 years before Jesus is ever born. But the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him, and he delivers them. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, we have one of those 7,435 promises, and this is one that I treasure. "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. There is never going to be anything allowed to tempt you to do wrong that God won't give you a way to do right." Daniel had a choice here. There's a new law. You can't pray to anybody for 30 days except just the king. Now, Daniel could have said, which many Christians do, "Well, you know, I don't want to rock the boat. It's only 30 days. Instead of sitting in the window like I have for 50 years, I'm just going to go down in the basement and pray. Nobody will know." But Daniel doesn't change. Daniel is rock strong in his faith. Daniel knows he's going to get in trouble. Daniel knows that he's going to be thrown in the lion's den because Daniel is a very smart man at the age of 90. Daniel knows the law has been passed and the laws of the Medes and Persians can't change. Daniel knows he's going to the lion's den. But he also knows his God. If it's time for Daniel to die, Daniel's willing to die. If it's time for Daniel to live, guess what? The lions aren't going to bother him. Folks, this is so important for you to understand. In Daniel 6:23, the king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. I want to read that again. I want you to get this down. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted his God. Folks, that doesn't mean when you trust God, nothing's ever going to go wrong. It doesn't mean you're not going to lose your health. It doesn't mean all that. But it means if it's not God's will, it won't happen. I'm going to die one of these days, unless the Lord comes in my lifetime, which he could. But if he doesn't, I'm going to die anyhow. You understand that? Does it matter if I die this week or 10 years or 20? It doesn't matter to me a bit. I've already had a good life. I know younger people, you're saying, "Well, I'm not ready to go. I got things I really want to do." Guess what? As you get a little older, you've done all that. Daniel's not worried. Daniel doesn't care anymore. He's 90 years old. He knows very soon he's going with the Lord anyhow. I hope you know there's no guarantee of tomorrow for no matter how old you are. We need to trust God. God has a plan for you, and it's a good plan. In Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at two different things here. Hebrews 11 verse 33, talking about those who have walked by faith and been rescued, who through faith conquered kingdoms. Daniel did that. Administered justice and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, that's Daniel, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weaknesses were turned to strength and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so they might gain an even better resurrection. That last sentence, do you like that part? There were others who refusing to be released so they might gain an even better resurrection. It's faith that brings someone to that choice. I could be released if I just go along to get along. Daniel decided, no, I can't go along with this. I've got to stand up to this. So many people are giving in on so many fronts today. Do you know why our country's in the shape it's in? Because people haven't stood for the truth. Sooner or later, there's got to be a generation to stand up and say, no, not on my watch. We're going back to the Bible as the source of truth. We're going back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This nation in 1898, we had a Supreme Court that declared this is a Christian nation. You will teach the Bible in the public schools. Folks, that's not very long ago. We need to get back to that. That's going to demand that you and I do something about it. At least vote. Do you know the last presidential election? 33 million born-again Christians sat home and didn't even vote. You understand why our nation is in the situation it's in? It's time for Christians to stand up and vote at least. At least take a chance and reach out. In Daniel 6:24, and the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children, and before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. There was nothing wrong with the lions. It was the angels that had shut their mouths. There's nothing wrong with a bully taking advantage of you. But if God shuts him down, guess what? He's not going to take advantage of you. In Daniel 6:25, then King Darius wrote to all the nations and peoples of every language in all the earth, may you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed, and his dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on the earth. He's rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. So he went through another two generations, and he simply held faithful. Now I want you to see the other side of the coin, because God, although he can rescue you, may choose not to. And you have to understand this. I'm not saying he's going to rescue you from every problem, because he won't. In Hebrews 11, verse 35, women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. In some instances, our God delivers. In other instances, he does not. I don't understand why. I don't know God's mind. But I do know this. Our God is able to deliver. I want to give you one other example of that, and it's Daniel chapter 3, verse 15. Now, when you hear the sound, this is Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. This is three kings backwards. Now when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you're ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you'll be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these are three of the buddies of Daniel's that went into captivity with him, replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of the God you have set up. Folks, that takes courage. I don't know if God's going to deliver our nation or not, but I want to be part of the salt and light to turn this nation back to God so that he will or could. He's not going to worship a nation that's doing the things our nation is doing. We're not going to be delivered. We have to have a change of heart. Our Lord wants us to know that no matter where you are going to face lion's dens all the days of your life. There are going to be those that want to force you into doing what they want you to do. If you look at Daniel's picture here, what's Daniel looking at? Is he looking at the lions? Or is he looking at the light? Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. If you keep your eye on the light, the lions are looking at Daniel, the lions are looking around, but Daniel's got his eyes on one thing, the light. Folks, you and I are going to have to make a choice. Either we're going to serve the Lord all the days of our life, or we're going to let this world tell us when you can and when you can't, when you can say what you should and when you can't say what you should. David said, I will not give a sacrifice to the Lord that cost me nothing. Many Christians do not want their Christian faith to cost them anything. What did it cost our Lord to be faithful to his Lord? Jesus prayed, didn't he? If it's possible, Lord, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. Folks, we need to be the same heart and set of mind. If it's possible, I would like to avoid all the troubles of this world, but that's not possible. I'm not going to miss all the troubles. We talked about the lion, Satan, on this earth. But there's another lion, and it's found in Revelation 5:5. Then one of the elders said to me, do not weep. See, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has triumphed. He's able to open the scroll and its seven seals. We have a lion that's over all the lions of this world. We have one that one day is going to deliver us from all the other lions. I'm going to a place soon, and it's good news. I'm going to a place where I'm never going to have trouble again. I'm never going to be tempted again. I'm never going to have sorrow again. Never going to see death again. And it's going to happen very likely within 30 years. It's going to happen. And I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm not looking at this as a bad thing. In 2 Peter 2:9, it says, if this be so, then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials, and to hold the unrighteous for punishment on the day of judgment. If it's our Lord's will to deliver us from whatever's troubling, maybe somebody's here right now, and you've got a lion of health problems, you've got a lion of financial problems, all these things, God says he's over it. He can deliver you if he chooses, but if he doesn't, you see, overcoming isn't the end of this thing. Because when you overcome one thing, what happens? There's another thing, and another thing. I'm going to wind up dead if the Lord doesn't come in my lifetime. The Lord says he's appointed us to death in what? In hope. Even our death is in hope. I'm going to live in a world where all this sin and all this sorrow and all this death is all going to be gone. I hope you are too. One last verse, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. In this life, you and I are going to have troubles. No getting around it. Doesn't matter how much money you got, how much fame you got, how much popularity you got, you're still going to have trouble. So get over the idea that I have to be rescued from everything, because you're not going to be. The Lord will rescue you from something, but some things you're going to have to go through. And when you come through, one of these days he's going to rescue you and I from it all. I'm looking forward to that day. I hope you are.